Over the years at the Revival Fires Conference to recognize the longevity of the men who've preached here. And if you've been coming over the years, you realize that another one of the men that has preached in this conference recently crossed over the shore to heaven. Dr. Wendell Runyon went home to be with the Lord. Not too many months before him, Brother Bobby Robertson went home to be with the Lord. And we've had the privilege over these years to recognize the men who've preached here and just served God for not just a few years, but decades. And the man that Brother Coral will come and introduce to you in just a moment will be preaching this August 55 years. 55 years. The same Bible, the same message, and the same fire burning in his heart. And that's what this award is called. It is called the Perpetual Fire Award. Dr. Bob Smith, his word was in mine heart as a burning fire. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9, 2018 Revival Fires National Conference. Brother Smith, thank you for these years and years of faithfulness. And going when you didn't want to go and preaching when you didn't want to preach.
Praise the Lord. He's already told you how many years Brother Smith's been preaching, and he's been a dear friend of mine for many, many years, been a good friend, and every year I preached for him when he was pastoring. I'd hold him a revival every other year on the off year. I'd be in there for at least a Sunday, and he'd been a wonderful friend. But what's always impressed me about Brother Smith, I don't know anybody that has any more preach in him than Brother Smith. He can get a sermon out of anything. It's an ant carrying a stick, and there's a sermon in that somewhere. And I mean, it'll be a Bible sermon, but everything turns into a sermon. And so I'm always excited to hear him. I love him, appreciate his friendship, appreciate his sweet spirit, and I'm thrilled to hear him tonight. My wife is going to sing the special, and then immediately following the special, Brother Smith will come and preach our closing message tonight.
The Master's call, give me thy best. For be it great or small, that is his test. Do then the best you can, not for reward. Lord, not for the praise of man, but for the Lord. Every word for Jesus will be blessed, but he hurts from everyone. Talents may be few, these may be small, but unto him is due our best for all. I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? Who died upon the cruel tree, to think of his great sacrifice on Calvary. I know my Lord expects the best from me. How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? When he has done so much for me, the hours that I have wasted are so many. The hours I've spent for Christ so few. Because of all my lack of love for Jesus, I wonder if his heart is breaking too. I wonder, have I cared enough for others, or have I let them die alone? I might have helped a wanderer to the Savior, the seed of precious life I might have sown. How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chains I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? When he has done so much for me, by and by, when I look on his face, beautiful face, thorn-shadowed face, by and by, when I look on his face, I'll wish I had given him more. Yes, unto him is due our best. I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus?
And amen. Well, amen. Thank you, Mrs. Coral. And you may not realize it, but Our Best is Brother Coral's favorite song. It's been his theme song to give God his best. And thank you, Brother Coral. Brother Angel, for the thoughtfulness. I appreciate it. And the amazing thing is, you don't serve God for those things. Don't serve God because we have to. Serve God because we get to. And I have as much want to in me to preach and serve Him today at almost 79 years of age as I did when I first started out. Know a little more. Yeah, know a little more. I thought Simon the leper was happy and found out it's Simon the leper and he's sick after a while. So. Brother Brown, God bless you. It's rough being identified as one of the older ones, isn't it? Thank you for coming to this geriatric conference. And I do want you to know there comes a time in our life when we quit lying about our age and start bragging about it. Yeah. It's a joy to have my wife with me. This June, we'll celebrate our 60th wedding anniversary. And we met where I grew up in Myrtle Springs, Texas. She came down with my sister to visit, my sister visiting mom and dad, and brought her with them, and I got to meet her. And that changed a lot of things in my life. Best thing that ever happened to me was Jesus saving me. Next best thing that ever happened to me was God giving me my wife. And so we're going to celebrate our 60th anniversary by going back to Myrtle Springs and spend 3 days and see all the sights. We thought about going to Canada and riding the train through the Canadian Rockies. And we thought about going to Durango, Colorado, and spending time there and riding the train there, but we decided we'd go back to Myrtle Springs where I grew up and watch the rotting trailer houses. Stand up, honey, so people can see you. Go ahead, honey. Stand up. Many of you prayed for her, and I want to thank you. Many of you in this church came to her yesterday and told her that you prayed for her, and you'll never know what that has meant to us to know that there's Christian friends, fellow laborers across this country that have prayed for her. We are 4.5 years almost out from cancer and surgery and chemo and radiation. And right now she's cancer-free, and we're grateful for God's goodness. We decided that we was going to make the big C in our life Christ, not cancer. And what a blessing He's been to us as He's led us through this. And it's good to have her with us, with me. I don't get to act like I normally act when she's with me. I have to halfway behave myself. I don't get to eat like I usually eat when I'm by myself. I have to behave myself. But anyway, it's good to have her with me, and we're grateful for this opportunity. And Dr. Coral, thank you for the invitation. We do not take it lightly to stand here in your conference or in your pulpit and preach the Word of God. And thank you, Brother Angel, for being such a gracious host. Mrs. Smith and I have been blessed and cared for, and we're so grateful. And then Brother and Mrs. Allen, as promise, I have provided transportation for us tomorrow to go to the hospital in Chicago to be with our granddaughter, our missionary granddaughter, who's having a surgical procedure there. And I didn't know we'd get to go, and they got the phone call, and Brother Angel said, "Who's going to be there with her?" And we said, "No one." And he said, "Yes, there is. You're going to be there." And so he made arrangements, and thank you so much for your thoughtfulness. They're on deputation, getting ready to go to Nepal. And then thank you, Brother and Mrs. Matt Maxwell. They're members of this church, aren't they? They gave my wife a little red box, and on it was a card that said a date in a box. And thank you for that gift, that thoughtfulness. What a blessing. Thank you very, very much. Now open your Bibles tonight to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 11. Judges chapter 11. Enjoyed that sermon, my brother. Thank you. Man, there's some good nuggets in that sermon. Golden nuggets. Amen. You ought to read about the Ninevites and what kind of people they were. How they hated the Jew. That raid Jewish villages, take captors, cut off their head, put them on post along the roadways going into Nineveh. Terrible people. You know he's from a little town up in Pennsylvania, so in that sermon you not only got some good Bible nuggets, you got quite a bit of possumology too. Yeah. And that'll work. I'm from East Texas, Myrtle Springs. We know what possumology is. Thank you for being here. If you found your place in Judges chapter 11, Judges chapter 11, out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you're able to stand, would you stand with me and follow as I begin to read in verse number 29. The Bible says, "Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah of Gilead. And from Mizpah of Gilead he passed over unto the children of Ammon. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands. And he smote them from Aor even till thou come to Minnith, even 20 cities, and unto the plain of the vineyards. And he smote them with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. And Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with trembles and dances, and she was his only child. Beside her, he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass, when he saw her, that he rid his clothes and said, Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low. Thou art one of them that trouble me, for I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. And she said unto him, My father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth, for as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even of the children of Ammon." Now, I want you to go back and look in verse number 35 at the statement that Jephthah made. He said, "For I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back." I want to talk to you for a little while tonight on that subject in reference to the old-time religion that we say we believe and we practice. I have opened my mouth to the Lord, and I cannot go back. Father, would you speak to us tonight? Thank you for the message and for the wonder-working power of God as displayed in Jonah a backslidden preacher, brought one of the was part of the greatest revival, one of the greatest revivals in Old Testament. Everybody in Nineveh, from the king down to the youngest that was old enough to understand, got right. God, you've given us your word. You've given us your call. You've given us your great commission. You've entrusted us to stand in your steps and preach an unchanging gospel and an unchanging word of God to a people in great need. And our nation is in as great a need as I can ever remember spiritually. Yet we see old-fashioned Bible-believing preachers and their children turning back in the day of battle. Do something in our hearts tonight that'll cause us to make a commitment to you. I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. Now I need your power. I need your help to preach. Fill me with thy spirit. Use me as your instrument. Let my voice be your voice. And Lord, do a work in our hearts beginning with this preacher. I don't know how much time I've got left, but I'm not going back. I'm going to stand where you've put me until that day you call me home. I've already settled that. And may others tonight determine that no matter what the enticement is out there from the world and the devil and the progressive crowd, we've opened our mouth unto the Lord, and we cannot go back. And we'll thank you in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me say before I get started, when you talked about all these preachers that had preached here and died, and you'd given that to, and then you called my name, I thought, oh dear God, am I next? The story of Jephthah and his hasty vow teaches the Christian today many important truths. There are several important facts made in Scripture about Jephthah. For instance, the Bible tells us that he was the son of Gilead with a harlot mother. The Bible also tells us that Gilead was married and his wife gave him sons. However, they didn't like their half-brother, Jephthah, so they thrust him out of the house and saw to it that he was disinherited. Having been cast out by his brothers, Jephthah fled to a land, the land of Tob. The land of Tob was an area in Syria, northeast of the area where he is born into the family of Gilead. Now, the Bible tells us that a man's gifts will make room for him. This is exactly what happened to Jephthah, though living as an outcast in this pagan land. Being a leader, Jephthah gathered vain men, the Bible says, around him. And he led them in battle against their enemies. Now in the process of time, the children of Ammon made war against Israel. There was no leader at that time in Israel to lead the armies, so the elders of Gilead went to the land of Tob and asked Jephthah if he would come back to Israel and lead his armies against the Ammonites. Now, Jephthah agreed to return to Israel and lead their armies on the condition that if he defeated the children of Ammon, Israel would make Jephthah their leader and their head. And the elders of Israel agreed to this. Now, though the Bible tells us that Jephthah was a mighty man of valor, and that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, We also know that he was not a man of great spiritual discernment. Wanting to succeed for the Lord, Jephthah made a foolish vow. And this foolish vow was a promise that if God would give him victory over the Ammonites, when he got back home, the first thing that came through the door of his house, he would offer as a burnt sacrifice to the Lord. Needless to say, God gave Jephthah and his armies of Israel victory over the Ammonites. Now Jephthah is returning home, and his only daughter sees her father coming, and she runs out of the door of his house to meet him. And old Jephthah sees her, and he remembers his vow. And the Bible says he rent his clothes and was brought very low. No doubt some advised him that he had made a foolish vow. There were a lot of things that Jephthah was not. But let me tell you what he was. He was a man of character and a man of his word. Jephthah then made a statement that I want to use tonight as the basis for my message. Jephthah said, I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back, even though it was going to cost him his only daughter. In this day when Christians and servants of God and families are turning away from God's Word and their commitment to Him so they can go back to a liberal, compromised, worldly life, may God raise up some men and women who will say with Jephthah, I've opened my mouth unto the Lord and I cannot go back. In the person of Jephthah, we're made aware that one does not have to be a spiritual giant in order to be chosen and greatly used by God. Fact is, when God called every one of us, we were not what God intended for us to become. Even when He called His disciples, He said, follow Me and I will make you to become fishers of men. Let me tell you, God's more interested in growing us as preachers and men of God than He is building a great church in the early part of our ministry. If you build a great church in our early ministry, we'd mess it up. Jephthah was a man of character, and in these days when people are departing from old-fashioned fundamentalism and the old-time religion, there's got to be some people that'll stand up for God and men of character and women of character, of faith, that'll say, I've opened my mouth unto the Lord and I will not go out. His pedigree was not acceptable to his own family. His mother was a harlot. He was driven away from his home and family by his own brothers to live in a pagan land. He didn't have the upbringing of a good, God-fearing home. But he used what light he had, and God used him, and God empowered him. Now, Jephthah wanted to do right. He wanted God's blessings. So without spiritual understanding of God's Word, he made a foolish vow. He vowed to offer the first thing that came through the door of his house as a burnt sacrifice to the Lord. And the first thing was his only precious daughter. He wanted to do right. God's people did not offer human sacrifices. It was an abomination to God, if you know anything about the Bible. Only on two occasions did God request a human sacrifice. Once, God requested Abraham to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice on the altar. And when he had built that altar and had his son on that altar and was about to plunge that knife into his breast, God stopped his hand and showed him a ram caught in a thicket and said, use that ram as a substitute for your son. You see, God didn't really want Isaac to be sacrificed. He wanted Abraham's heart and Abraham's faith. The second time God requested and required a sacrifice was when God offered his own son as a sacrifice. Our ransom and payment for our sin debt. Though he was not just a man, he was God, but he was as much man as if he had never been God. He was God incarnate in human flesh, sinless, undefiled, and he became sin for us. And God judged our sin in Christ so we could be saved and have life everlasting. Jephthah did not understand that God did not require human sacrifices, that it was an abomination to God. And there was nobody around him to remind him of Leviticus chapter 27, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4, where God made it possible for a person who offered a foolish vow of their son and daughter could redeem it with so many coins, so much silver. Nobody was there to tell Jephthah. There's a terrible danger for a Christian living in this sinful world without a relationship with God's man and God's church and not having knowledge of the Word of God. Jephthah got into a lot of trouble because he made a foolish vow and no priest was there to tell him what God's provision was. There was no preacher there. How many times have you made foolish vows and promises? Vows contradicting the Scripture. And you weren't close enough to God or the Bible or a man of God or a church of God that had that old-time religion and taught truth that they could show you in the Bible God's will and God's plan and God's way out of that foolish vow. There's a terrible danger for a Christian to live in this sinful world without a relationship with God's man and the Lord's church. It's dangerous to live as a Christian not having knowledge of the Word of God. Jephthah had made a sincere vow to God. He vowed to offer the first thing that came through the door of his house when he got home if God would give him victory over the Ammonites. His only daughter was the first thing that came through that door. And his heart was broken, but he determined to keep his vow and commitment to God. Where was the priest to tell him? Like Jephthah, we're living dangerously when we live outside of a faithful church and pastor relationship and we're not secure in our Bible knowledge. Let me move on. Jephthah knew that he had vowed a vow to God and that it was better not to vow than to vow and lie. So he said, I've opened my mouth unto the Lord and I cannot go back. And Jephthah kept his vow and he did not go back. Now, I want to preach a little while tonight on the statement made by Jephthah. I've opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. Now, I want you to know when I called upon God to save me in an old-fashioned Baptist church, I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and when I did, I opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. My faith in Christ declared that I believe Jesus to be the Savior and God's only provision for my sin. And I cannot go back. Like Peter, when Christ asked him if he would also go away, he answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. when I went into the baptismal waters, making my public profession of faith and identifying with a local Baptist Bible-believing church, I opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. I was declaring my belief in a body of truth known as the faith once delivered to the saints. The faith is that body of truth that Jesus taught the disciples and the disciples taught the church, and the same truth that builds, that makes up Baptist doctrine. And let me tell you, my dear friend, Bible doctrine and Baptist doctrine are the same. Don't you believe these heretics out there that want you to think that they've got something better and something new out here, a new discovery. There's nothing new under the sun. If it's new, it's not true. If it's true, it's not new. Stick with the faith once delivered to the saints. Stick with that old-time religion. Yes, I've opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. When I knelt at an altar with my wife and answered God's call to preach the gospel and made my public surrender before that independent fundamental Baptist church, I opened my mouth unto the Lord and I cannot go back. When God gave me 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4 for my ministry verse, for as we're allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we preach, not pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. I open my mouth to the Lord, and I cannot go back. When I stood before a council of my peers and was questioned about what I believed and was ordained as an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist preacher, I had opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. It was good enough then, and it's been good enough for these 55 years. And I think I'm going to just go ahead and stay where God put me. I've opened my mouth to the Lord. When I accepted the call to pastor an independent fundamental Baptist church, I've opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. God, deliver us from these young whippersnappers and old codgers that think that the world's got something better to offer in this new stuff. Hey, the problem is not with the book, and it's not with the doctrine, and it's not with the old-time religion. If they're not growing, they're not doing what God wants them to do. It's their heart problem, not the Bible problem, and not the old-time religion problem. I've opened my mouth to the Lord, and I cannot go back. Let me say secondly, I've opened my mouth to the Lord, and I will not go back. I've made up my mind. I'm not going to do it. I've taken a stand, and I'm going to stand. I will not go back. Now, that doesn't mean that I know everything I need to know. The two things that's got to be happening in the Christian life, if he's going to become all God wants him to be, he's got to be learning and growing, learning and growing, learning and growing. Oh, after all these years, I don't know everything I need to know. But I'll tell you this, I've not grown weaker in my belief, but stronger. There was a time when I'd never heard of soul winning. There's a time when I'd never heard of missions, and I do believe it's scriptural. There was a time when I'd never heard of holy living and separation from the world. There's a time when I'd never heard of the indwelling and sealing and filling of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm so much further along in spiritual growth and pleasing my Savior than I was 50 years ago or 40 years ago or 20 years ago. And I've made up my mind. I've opened my mouth unto the Lord. I cannot go back, and I will not go back. You say you may eat your words one day. If I start to go back, I hope somebody will shoot me. I want to leave this life standing faithful. I want to finish my course right. And I want to keep the faith. I want to face Jesus, not having made a vow unto Him and going back. Answering His call, but going back and turning back again to the world. I've opened my mouth to the Lord. I cannot go back. Secondly, I want you to know I've opened my mouth to the Lord and I will not go back. Thirdly, I've opened my mouth to the Lord and I must not go back. I must not go back. You see, in these 55 years, pastored 3 churches, served as an associate pastor in another, spent 18 years in evangelism. I've seen church members by the thousands over these years. Seen young men surrender their life to preach the gospel and pastor. There's young men out there on the evangelistic trail that made surrender of their life under our ministry. Missionaries all over this world that walked down the aisle and surrendered their life in a meeting where I was preaching. I must not go back. How will it affect them? What will they do if they see the preacher that was preaching when God dealt with their heart? Go back on the Word of God and go back. I cannot go back. I will not go back. I must not go back. I have pastors and friends by the thousands throughout our ministry in these 50-some-odd years. I must not go back. What will they think? Well, old brother so-and-so did. I guess it's all right for me too. No, I cannot go back. I will not go back. And I must not go back. My precious wife of 60 years, 3 daughters, 9 grandchildren, 4 of which are in full-time ministry, 1 an assistant pastor, and 3 missionaries. I have 6 great-grandchildren. If I go back on God, how will it affect them? No, no. I've opened my mouth to the Lord and I cannot go back. I will not go back. I must not go back. And I'm here to tell you my Savior and my God has done me nothing but good. How can I go back on my Savior and my God when He's blessed me so? I must not go back. Then lastly tonight, I cannot go back. I will not go back. I must not go back. And lastly, I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back. Oh my, I've experienced God's blessings over these years. I know what it is to experience His power on your life. I've seen God's favor on our ministry. He does not bless compromise or turning back in the day of battle. I know what it is to stand with an open Bible and be endued with the power of God to proclaim His Word. I've seen the altars filled with sinners being saved. I know what it is to see God use a service to call out people. I think about one service in a conference where I was preaching. 56 young men came forward and surrendered their life to proclaim the gospel. Many of them missionaries. Most of them were coming as missionaries. I've experienced God's supply. I've watched Him prepare a table for me in the wilderness. I know what it is to experience God's miraculous provision. I've watched Him turn heartaches into joy. I've seen Him work as those who stood against us stood against His Word, subdue them without human explanation. I'm telling you, I cannot go back. I will not go back. I must not go back. I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back. I've watched God supply my every need. From a car to drive, to a house to live in, to our daily provision. I've watched Him supply over and over again. I don't want to go back. I've watched God give us comfort and peace. When my wife was diagnosed with cancer and we went through that surgery and that chemo and that radiation and the fear and the uncertainty that grips your heart with that horrible word called cancer. And yet I've watched Him as He put peace in her heart. And peace in my heart.
Amen.
I don't want to go back.
Amen.
I've tasted that He is good.
Yes.
I've drank from His water.
Yes.
I've eaten from His bread. I don't want to turn back.
Yes.
I've watched over these almost 55 years as God opened doors for me to preach all over America. You know, I've never called a pastor and asked him to have me. I've never written a letter and asked a pastor to have me. I promised God that if He'd be my booking agent, I'd go to any independent Bible-believing Baptist church on the basis of a love offering. If they'd get me there and give me some place to sleep, feed me a couple of meals a day, I'd go on love offering basis. Over these 55 years, He's about to preach me to death. You better learn this if you're in the Lord's work. You better learn He's in charge. He's your booking agent. If He called you, He'll use you if you'll trust Him. Let me tell you something else you'd better learn. You'd better learn it's not the churches that are your source of supply. And it's not some big sugar daddy that's your source of supply. God is our source of supply. And I've watched Him supply, and I've watched Him give, and I've watched Him bless. And I'm here to tell you, I have opened my mouth to the Lord, and I cannot go back. And I will not go back. And I must not go back. And I don't want to go back. I will not. I cannot. I must not. And I don't want to. I've already settled it. I don't want to go back. The world don't offer me anything greater than what God has done for me and given me. I want to be faithful. I don't know how much time I've got left. I know there'll come a time when the calls and the invitations will slow down and eventually cease. I know that. And I'm at peace with that. It's God's business, not mine. I'm just His servant. He's the one that tells me when and where to go. But I want you to know, it's been a wonderful journey. It's been a blessing. It's been miraculous. You don't tell me there's not a God in heaven. You don't tell me He can't supply your need. You don't tell me He can't take a nobody and do something with him. He's got to have the talented and the intellectual. No, He can reach down in Myrtle Springs and get a nobody out of a sharecropper's farm. Call him to preach and use him. And I just thought I'd tell you one more time. I've opened my mouth to the Lord and I cannot go back. I've opened my mouth to the Lord. And I will not go back. I've opened my mouth to the Lord, and for the sake of those I love and those who have trusted me and followed me, I must not go back. And I've opened my mouth to the Lord, and I've tasted that He is good, and I don't want to go back. And I say to you, you need to come to that place where there's no longer enticement from the world. There's no longer enticement from this new movement out there that's stealing away so many of our children and our teenagers and our young preachers and our older preachers. There's where the blessings are, not out there. There's where the truth is, not out there. I ask you to join with me. I've opened my mouth to the Lord. I've settled it. I've determined. I've gotten on my knees and I've said, God, here is where I stand and I cannot go back. I will not go back. I must not go back. And thank God I don't even want to think about going back. Father, that's our message. Now would you speak to our hearts? May you use this simple thought tonight to cause young men, young ladies, their wives, family, missionaries, evangelists, preachers, old ones too, to determine, I've opened my mouth to the Lord. I cannot go back. I will not go back. I must not go back. I don't even want to go back. Bless this invitation and help people make a decision tonight that will keep them on the firing lines for you till the trumpet sounds and Jesus comes again or we're promoted to glory. In Jesus' name.
Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's start with the full-time servants who will join this man tonight. Will you come, men, preachers? Will you come? I cannot go back. I will not go back. I must not go back. I don't want to go back. Layman, faithful people, teenagers, did God speak to your heart tonight? Would you hear the heart, the soul, the voice of someone who's paid the price, speaking the truth tonight? Stick with the book. Would you come and join these that are praying? Did God speak to your heart tonight? Is the piano play softly, just the piano? If you come and join these tonight, I cannot go back. I will not go back. I must not go back. And may it be in our hearts that we don't want to go back. We've opened our mouth to the Lord. Stay where you are, and I'm going to ask in just a moment after you pray a little bit, I'm going to ask Brother Smith to have a closing prayer and seal in our hearts tonight this decision.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you tonight in behalf of these who are kneeling with us. God, I ask you tonight to help us to make that commitment in our heart. This is not an unwise vow. This is not a foolish vow. Not an unbiblical vow. This is a vow unto the God of glory, the Creator of all things. The God who loved us so much, He gave His own Son to pay our sin debt. The God who has saved us and blessed us. And now as we kneel before You, help us as we make that commitment to You. I've made my stand, and I will not go back. I'm sticking with the Bible. The faith, the doctrines it teaches. And I will not go back. I cannot go back. I must not go back. And Lord, I'm asking you to bless them with the many of the blessings you've blessed me with, so they'll come to that place where they've enjoyed watching you provide and protect and empower. Bring them to that place where they say, God, I don't want to go back. Thank you for loving us and dying for us. Now help us to be faithful in a generation that needs faithful servants as much or more than any generation in which we've ever lived. Help us to be that voice, that testimony, that life, that gospel in shoe leather, that example of Jesus Christ and the crucified life, so that others might see and know there is a God in heaven who loved us and gave Himself for us. And help us to settle it again. I cannot go back. I will not go back. I must not go back. I don't want to go back. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.